The Packers are traveling to the Superdome in New Orleans, where the Saints have won their past 19 home games. Will the Packers defense be able to slow down Drew Brees and Jimmy Graham? We'll find out with Chris Christofko of TitletownSoundoff.com next. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu, along with our live blog director, Jamie Snowden, along with Alex Talich. We're talking some Packers football. We're getting ready for the Packers game this upcoming Sunday against the New Orleans Saints. To do so, we'll go to our phone lines to break it all down.
Interview.
We have Chris Christofko of TitletownSoundoff.com joining us on the phones. Chris, how are you doing this morning?
Great to be here. Thanks.
Thank you for joining us. Let's break this all down, Chris. Sam Shields and Morgan Burnett haven't practiced this week. So tell me, will the Packers secondary be able to stop Drew Brees without two starters potentially?
Well, the question is, can you really ever stop Drew Brees? I think we have to hope to slow him down, and I think they can. We've all seen the defense has performed pretty darn well in the last several weeks, but I don't think I even realized how well the pass defense had performed. According to ESPN.com, the Packers lead the league in opposing quarterback rating. And that's incredible when you think about what this defense has been able to do so far against the pass. Teams are only completing about 59.3% of their passes against the Packers, and that's fifth in the league. They're fifth in the league in yards per game allowed passing, and they've been very strong in pass defense. I mean, the only problem is the Saints are also the number two passing offense in the league. So, you know, you're going to have the clash of strengths there. But even with Burnett and Shields potentially out, the depth at the positions there is so strong that I'm not really concerned that they can't slow Brees down. He's going to get his yards, he's going to get his scores, but you need to get those opportunistic turnovers. And that's one thing the defense really has done this year. I think with the strong secondary, even with those two injuries, I think you can expect a solid performance from the D.
That's a good point about that opposing passer rating. That's definitely a key statistic for this Packers, and one that's allowed them to have a 5-2 record coming into this game. Do you expect the Packers at all to maybe play it safe with a guy like Sam Shields, who's already missed a game, considering they have the bye week next week?
Yeah, I would be shocked to see Shields or Burnett suit up on Sunday, because there's two factors here. First is that you have the bye week. So if you hold them out this week at 5-2, you can almost afford to hold them out and get them 2 weeks of rest and get them back healthy, so that after the bye, essentially you have all of the starters returning healthy, and that's a huge luxury that we haven't had in the past. And on top of that, we heard McCarthy say Burnett's injury was a little more serious than they thought, so I would be shocked to see them play on Sunday.
You mentioned before that this Packers depth in the secondary, even if they're missing a few guys, I mean, what do you think's been the difference? This was a team a year ago who I was concerned about the depth, particularly at the safety position, but seemed strong at cornerback too.
Yeah, I mean, the depth in the secondary has been so strong, basically with the addition of essentially two players, and that's HaHa Clinton Dix and Micah Hyde. Now, Micah Hyde obviously was on the team last year, but converting him to a safety and putting Dix back there and really trusting him has been huge. One of the things I think that really has been a difference is not just the pass coverage, because that's obviously been very good, but the short tackling. Like, if you look at Clinton Dix for a rookie, 29 tackles, and according to Pro Football Focus, only 3 missed tackles. That's been the difference in many cases in a solid safety performance and a weak performance. I mean, we remember last year, you could count the missed tackles on 2 hands on 1 play sometimes. It was brutal. But Dix has really been wrapping up his opponents, and it's really made a huge difference.
Yeah, I like the way he's on
top of that, real quick, the corners, if you look at Casey Hayward and Devon House, I mean, these guys would be starting on most other teams. So to have to fall back on those guys, not a problem. They're strong enough. Look at Hayward's performance after he's come back this year. Healthy has been really impressive. And that's got to be, you know, really encouraging for the future.
So, you know, the Packers are facing Saints tight end Jimmy Graham on Sunday. Tight end matchup nightmare, tight end slash wide receiver, whatever you want to call him. There was a big controversy about what position he played this past summer because of the franchise tag. But how do you think the Packers will defend Graham? Who's going to get the responsibility for doing so?
Well, if Burnett was playing, I think you'd see him having some responsibilities. It doesn't look like he will be playing, but I think you're going to see a lot of safety coverage on Graham. So you've got Clinton Dix and Hyde rotating down to cover him. You're going to have, you're going to have some mismatches. That's what Jimmy Graham is. You can't hope to match up against him because the safeties are going to be too small. The linebackers are going to be too slow. So, you know, he's going to get yards. He's going to get his receptions. You know, the one thing that concerned me was Greg Olsen getting 105 yards against the Packers last week. So, look, we're going to see Jimmy Graham. He's going to gash the Packers a bit, and I don't want people to panic. It's going to happen. Now, what I talked about before, if Clinton Dix is on him and we can get some short tackles, we can eliminate one of the biggest weapons in Jimmy Graham's game, and that's yards after contact. If we limit that, I think the performance can be very strong. It's like I said, Jimmy Graham's a mismatch, and you can't hope to match up well on him. You just do your best.
We are still kind of waiting to find out at what, you know, what is he going to be at full strength? Is it only going to be partial strength? Because, you know, last week, yeah, Jimmy Graham was just, he played, but he didn't even have a single reception. So we're still kind of waiting to see that. We're talking with Chris Cristofo of TitletownSoundoff.com here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central on a Friday morning. Chris, what's your concern level with James Starks and his ankle injury?
I'm not really worried much at all. Starks yesterday apparently was progressing pretty well. McCarthy made that comment. Starks claims he's playing Sunday, but then again, players always claim they're playing Sunday, so who knows? You know, in the worst-case scenario, if Starks is out, we've got DeJuan Harris to relieve Eddie Lacy, and I'm pretty confident that he can get the job done as well. That's another place where depth is a luxury, and, you know, if Starks can't go, I don't think it's really going to affect things much at all.
Elsewhere on the offense, Aaron Rodgers off to an amazing start, a 18-1 touchdown to interception ratio to open the season. But my question for you is can Aaron Rodgers extend this streak without an interception? I think it's numbering six games now in a difficult road environment playing in a place like the Superdome.
Yeah. You know, here's the thing. Can he do it? Absolutely. And let's face it, there's some luck involved in any of these streaks. But, man, has he been playing well. And he should be like a kid in a candy store in this dome on Sunday. First of all, he tends to play pretty well in domes. But second of all, the secondary he's facing of the Saints is just woeful. Now, Jerry's Bird, obviously their big offseason acquisition, is injured. But the cornerback tandem, so Keenan Lewis and Corey White are the starters. Last year it was Lewis and Jabari Greer. So Greer suffered a career-ending injury in Week 11. Now, since Greer has gone out, the Saints were 8-2 with Lewis and Greer starting. Since that, they're 6-10, including the postseason. And half of the reason, or part of the reason, might be Corey White. He's just getting lit up by opposing quarterbacks. Opposing quarterbacks have a whopping 135.6 rating when throwing at him. He's given up 30 receptions on 38 targets. That's a 78.9% completion percentage. That's just insane. So you put Aaron Rodgers, and that's against every quarterback they face, not against Aaron Rodgers. So imagine if, you know, the sky's the limit on what he can do to this guy. And I think he's really going to rack up yards against White and a really suspect secondary.
Yeah, the Saints certainly aren't helped by the subtraction of Jairus Byrd, who they lost to a season-ending injury and wasn't even playing well before he was injured.
Right.
Kind of interesting.
Absolutely.
Their big free agent acquisition of the offseason. Will the relative lack of production from the tight end position in Green Bay, do you think that'll come back to bite the Packers at all?
I think really the biggest concern is having at least three legitimate targets on the offense in the passing game. So I think Davante Adams' emergence has taken the pressure off the tight end spot. It would be nice. It would be important. And I think they need a tight end that can at least be the threat of a pass catcher. But honestly, what concerns me more is the ability of that tight end position to block whether it be in the running game or to protect Rodgers. You know, we've seen Richard Rodgers really whiff on some blocks early in the season, and that's worrisome. You want him to catch passes, but you really want him to protect Rodgers and protect the runners when it's necessary. If you look at my partner at Titletown Soundoff, Jeremy Vanderlinden, has been tweeting some snaps from the last game, and they're terrific. It shows that Rodgers has improved. Now, he's not perfect. He got lucky on a couple of blocks where he just got a piece of a defender. But he's improving, and that's encouraging. That's where my concern more is. Adams is going to add that extra element to the passing game that's really going to open things up. As long as the tight end can be a threat to catch a pass and can protect the quarterback or protect the or participate in the running game, I think that's what's really, really going to be key.
Yeah, it did seem like Rodgers took some steps, and especially his run blocking the pass game, which is good. You know, he's a young kid. You expect he's going to make steps, but hopefully he just keeps getting better.
And what a luxury. What a luxury if they can let him progress, and by the end of the season we see some production.
Yeah, exactly. That's the ideal scenario, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Chris, with the Saints being just 2-4, but on the other hand, they've also won their last 19 home games. What's going to give on Sunday?
You know, streaks are meant to be broken. When I look at these, every statistic about the Saints at home scares me to death. They don't lose at home. They don't lose at primetime. They certainly don't lose at home in primetime. But every matchup really plays to the Packers' favor. You know, a strong passing offense against that secondary, and the Packers' pass defense, which has been really pretty impressive. I think the defense is able to get off the field just enough to hold Drew Brees off and to get maybe eke out a win. It's not going to be a blowout. I don't even think it's going to be a huge shootout, but I wouldn't be surprised to see like a 27-24 win for the Packers. I really think they can pull it off, you know, based on those matchups.
Well, I hope that's the case. Chris, I've enjoyed talking to you. It was nice to see you. Met your acquaintance for the first time at Throwback Weekend last weekend, and where we kind of got started with all this. But it was good to see you, and let's do it again sometime.
Absolutely. Would love to. Thanks very much.
All right. Take care. Chris Kristofko of TitletownSoundoff.com joining us here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central. You ready for the game this weekend, folks? Big time matchup. Packers looking to head into the bye with huge momentum. They're already riding a 4-game winning streak. Can you just imagine if it's extended to 5 wins? How joyous would they be coming back to Green Bay on a 5-game winning streak with those players knowing, hey, we got a week off. We're on a 5-game winning streak. I don't know, maybe sometimes overconfidence can kind of hurt you down the road, but I mean, just the riding that momentum would just be huge for this Packers team. But let's get down to what's happened over the past 24 hours in the world of the Green Bay Packers.
Packers news of the day.
Packers news of the day. Trying out some new sound clips here at Railbird Central. We'll see how this goes. It's a little bit iffy here on the first episode of using these things. But anyway, you know, I think yesterday you heard Coach McCarthy talk about Clinton Dix in his press conference saying he's ready to play a complete game. And you know, early in the season, and Chris Kristofko kind of referred to this earlier, it was a little bit rough for Clinton Dix early in the season, and rough being a relative term. I actually think he played very well, even dating back to regular season game one of the season. You saw maybe a whiff tackle here or there, but it seems like there was always a point in almost every game this season where you just were kind of in awe a little bit of Clinton Dix and his ability to, get from sideline to sideline, or, you know, from midfield to sideline, I guess I could say. And just, you know, the sure handedness of his tackles has been so impressive. But, you know, at the beginning of the year, he was kind of splitting time with Micah Hyde. And it seems like almost week by week, it's Clinton Dix playing more and more. And he's finally taken over the starter's role. It took a few weeks. And you know, is he ready to be the full-time guy now? And it's with Morgan Burnett potentially not playing. You know, the Packers could be looking at Clinton Dix playing his biggest role yet, especially, you know, considering where the Packers are playing and the dome environment they're heading into in New Orleans at the Superdome. And you know what? Even if Morgan Burnett can't play, the Packers sure seem to be in good shape because of their depth at the safety position and what these guys have done. And it's been so impressive this year. Just been a world of difference from last year. And it really is remarkable how far the Packers have come. When, you know, last year the safety position didn't even grab a single interception, and not like that's changed big time in Green Bay. I think, you know, what is Clinton Dix has one interception. I think he's the only player at the position with an INT this year. Granted, the cornerbacks are doing more than their fair share of you know, creating turnovers. So it's not like the Packers aren't getting turnovers, but it's just the solid play. Just you know, you're not worrying about blown assignments and missed tackles and guys getting beat. It's just no matter if it's Burnett, it's Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, it's Micah Hyde. These guys are you know, getting the job done. And what I want to do is play a clip here from Packers head coach Mike McCarthy, who you know, talks about, you know, despite the concern with Morgan Burnett maybe being out, what the depth at the safety position behind him.
Yeah, we feel good. We feel very good about our depth. You know, I can't say enough the way the guys stepped up last week, and you know, everybody's practicing, everybody's contributing, everybody wants to. I mean, so everybody's looking for an opportunity. Mike has done a lot of good things. You know, Ha-Ha had an excellent practice today. You know, Jared Bush is always ready to go, as you know, as far as the dime and things like that. And Sean Richardson is playing extremely well in special teams, and you know, he's looking for an opportunity also. You know, Sean had the big stop in there on third down against Carolina last week.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting with Burnett potentially being out. You know, not only will Clinton Dix get a start, but you know, that probably makes Micah Hyde, who, you know, had kind of been taken out of the starting lineup, you know, he could be playing a big role too. And, you know, is it going to fall on Micah Hyde's shoulders to, you know, potentially guard a guy like Jimmy Graham? I've been sitting here all week and trying to figure out how to rack my brain. How are they going to guard him? And you know, it just seems that Ha-Ha Clinton Dix is more of your prototype free safety. Not that he can't come up into the box and do that kind of thing, but you know, he just does. You know, he seems to be the guy who might have the little bit more height. You know, he's like over 6'1", I believe, and a guy who, you know, from the height standpoint, might be able to stack up where, you know, some of these cornerbacks are you know, even under 6 feet tall. When you're talking about Tremont Williams being like 5'11", things like that, you know, Clinton Dix has a few more inches on him, but you know, he just seems to be more of your drop back, you know, center fielder zone type of guy. Not the kind of guy who's going to get in Jimmy Graham's face at the line of scrimmage. And not to say that the Packers can't switch that up from time to time and have him on him, which they do occasionally, but you know, by and large, Clinton Dix, you know, he tends to hang back at midfield, and that could be a weapon as well. But who's going to be in Jimmy Graham's face, you know, at the line? Who's going to be guarding him for the first 5 to 10 yards of his routes? And I keep wondering about what the Packers used to do with Charles Woodson. And, you know, I remember him guarding some elite tight ends back in his day. And, you know, maybe the new era Charles Woodson is Casey Hayward, who seems to be playing week in and week out better and better. Interceptions in the past two games and looking like just how he did his rookie season when he grabbed 6 interceptions. he's the type of player who seems to be able to bait quarterbacks into thinking there's a hole in the zone or something like that, but there's really not, because it's just Casey Hayward playing his role and, you know, reading the quarterback for one, knowing routes and where players are going for two, and he can just seem to get that break. And I wonder if it's Casey Hayward that's, you know, going to get the majority of the time. And yeah, I mean, Casey Hayward isn't exactly big either. I don't know. Maybe it's just rolling, you know, zone coverage to Jimmy Graham's side, where you've got maybe Casey Hayward underneath and then Clinn Dix over the top. I mean, that's what I think you got to do some of the time. You got to be more concerned about, you know, what the Saints are going to do through the air than on the ground. Yeah, you know, it's just a thought. And here I see some, you know, other thoughts from the live blog. Kevin Lamb on the live blog says, I would think Hayward would be on Brandon Cooks, the fast new wide receiver the Saints drafted. Mike Levenowicz says, I would like to see House matched up on Graham. And you know, true. I mean, some of it depends on where these guys line up on the field. You know, Jimmy Graham is just as liable to be lined up out on the perimeter, where it's more likely a guy like Devon House would be facing him, as opposed to the slot where, you know, Casey Hayward is. It just depends. It just depends. But it's such a matchup I'm excited to watch. You know, it's a chess match. You know, how do you guard this guy where the secondary is too small and the linebackers are too slow? It's a catch 22. But I mean, you know, not everything has to do with height. You know, even though these Packers secondary are 6'6", 6'1", it's not like, you know, that's that on every pass that the Jimmy Graham's 6'6" height is going to be the difference. You know, the Packers can still get the job done and be able to do okay, I think. You know, else in the past 24 hours at 1265 Lombardi Avenue, I think the other news yesterday was that you saw both James Starks and Dayton Jones practice for the first time this week. For Dayton Jones, it's been a little bit more than that. You know, both those guys sat out on Wednesday, first day of the Packers practice this week. And you're like, oh no, you know, here we go again. They're sitting out. They're not going to be ready for the game on Sunday. But you know, they take a step in the right direction. And you know, I'm talking with Chris Christofko, I don't think it's a huge deal that James Starks has been, you know, sitting out with an ankle injury. You know, he only sat out one practice. So how major can this be? And you know, even if the Packers have done such a good job collecting depth at the running back position between Eddie Lacy and Dewan Harris and James Starks, that, you know, if any one of those guys has to sit out a game, they're still in pretty good shape and can be able to get the job done. So maybe that's not a huge deal, but still, a healthy James Starks is better than an injured James Starks, right? On top of that, Dayton Jones practicing, you know, he's now sat out for two games, originally injured in the midst of the week 5 game against the Minnesota Vikings, spraining his ankle, same ankle he did last year, which comes as a worry. But Dayton Jones, you know, we saw him last week. He tried to practice, ends up having a setback. And, you know, since that time, Jones has been not practicing through Wednesday of this week, and now he comes back, and that's only going to help the Packers' defensive line. I think he's been heading in the right direction this year, early in the year, and the Packers' defense would be be getting a boost, you know, from the return of Dayton Jones. They've had to, you know, rely on an undrafted guy like Luther Robinson. And you know, while Luther Robinson has flashed, which is great, he's still just an undrafted rookie and a guy who's not really reliable yet. Whereas Dayton Jones, you're going to get an honest effort from him every play, and you're not going to have him making mistakes. So I think that's great that those guys are getting back to full strength and back to full health and may play an impact in the game. So that's who's coming back. But so what do we have now with the Green Bay Packers upcoming on a Friday?
The day ahead.
The day ahead, looking forward to today, we're still waiting to see the status of Sam Shields and Morgan Burnett and what they do. Packers released their final injury report of the week on Friday, where we kind of learn their status. You know, are they going to be probable, questionable, doubtful? Even, you know, sometimes they're just listed as out if you know they're not going to play. And it's tough to say because, you know, neither of these guys have practiced yet this week. And, of course, we know with Sam Shields, this is an injury that dates back 2 weeks now. You know, I would say if I had to guess, even though, you know, Mike McCarthy was, you know, he's like, I'm less optimistic about Morgan Burnett than I was on Wednesday, he said. Apparently just not responding well to treatment or you know, not healing the way they had hoped. I still think Morgan Burnett has a better chance of playing than Sam Shields. And again, that's just guesswork on my part. I just think, you know, you got to be able to, you got to treat Sam Shields' knee injury with be a little more careful with a knee than you do with a calf. I mean, and that's not to minimize the injury to Morgan Burnett, which I'm sure is legitimate and all that. But, you know, it's just so much concern about knees. And it's I could very well seeing Morgan Burnett making a lot of progress between now and, you know, I guess he even gets a few extra hours of recovery, seeing as it's a Sunday night game as to the opposed to the typical Sunday afternoon game. So, you know, I could see Morgan Burnett playing, but we'll find out on Friday what the prognosis is when the Packers release their injury report. Not going to find out much from a practice standpoint because the Packers, they don't do a full-fledged practice on Fridays anymore. They kind of do walkthroughs and whatnot. But they save their last practice of the week until Saturdays, the day before the game. So anything they list is, you know, they call an estimation or a projection or of what they think they would have done on Friday on the injury report instead of an accurate assessment of what, you know, they really did on the practice field. But still, you get the projection with the doubtful, probable, questionable, that listed on the injury report, which we're waiting to see from these guys in the Packers secondary. You know, it certainly the Packers would be better served with a healthy secondary with Sam Shields and Morgan Burnett playing than not. Even though they have good depth and these guys are stepping up, you know, they're better served at full strength against a guy like Drew Brees than they are at partial strength. So you want to see these guys come back. Prediction for the game, you know, I'm personally worried about this Saints, you know, their 19 game home winning streak. I think it's 13 games home winning streak in prime time, you know, which is where the game is Sunday evening, nationally televised on NBC. I'm calling for the Saints to win 28-27. I know that's not helping the gamblers out there very much, who were the spread last I saw. It all depends where you look. Last I saw it was, you know, 1 point Packer underdogs, and I've got them losing by 1 point. If you look other places, I've seen the Saints favored by 1.5 points. So if that's the case, there you go. Packers beating the spread. by a half a point. I guess, you know, what I'm saying here is this game could go either way. You know, I think the Saints are a better team at home than they are on the road. And Drew Brees and Jimmy Graham are a lethal combination no matter where they are. And I think the Packers are going to score. You know, I think Aaron Rodgers is going to have success against the New Orleans secondary. But, you know, ultimately, I just think that, you know, Drew Brees makes one more play, exposes the Packers defense once. That's why I'm calling for the loss. But by no means is that a, you know, I'm not locking that up. You know, if I were a better, this may not be the game you would want to bet, other than perhaps maybe taking the over in the game. That would be a better bet from a gambling perspective. You know, just enjoy points. Just enjoy lots and lots of scoring instead. But by all means, Packers, come away with the victory and a fifth straight win in New Orleans. That would be fine by me and the rest of Packers Nation. But anyway, that'll do it for today's show here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central. Thank you, everybody, so much for tuning in. Thank you to Chris Christofko of TitletownSoundoff.com for joining us on the show. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, Alex Talich, I'm Brian Caravu. We'll see you later, folks. Stay tuned to Cheesehead TV for all your news needs all week long on the blog. And we'll see you again on Monday, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time, the live edition of the show. Have a good weekend, folks. I leave you today with a song called Rosie by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. Go Pack, go. Here we go.